Take your Bibles, and I want you to turn with me over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. And I want to speak to you over the next couple of weeks about how we're ending 2021, but really 2020, but how we're moving into 2021. And we want to ask the anointing of the Lord upon our hearts and our lives. So this week and next week, we're going to look at this idea of what we need to incorporate, how we need to live regarding the time that we've been given. We've all been given a specific time, a dash between the dates of our lives. Moses said, teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. I'm going to speak specifically on time next Sunday, that first Sunday of 2021, if the Lord tarries. And today I want to project forward as we look back of what you and I need to do to living on the upside, say upside of 2021. How do we transition from 2020 to 2021 and do it for the glory of God? Sleeping and being in church have always been a topic of a few good laughs. There's a lady on the second row here at Brighton Assembly of God that she and I grew up together at Brightmore Tabernacle. And Del Miazga will tell you that there was a particular gentleman, whenever I think about sleeping in church, I think of this gentleman we used to call Sleepy Jack at Brightmore Tabernacle. Some that are watching online know exactly who I'm talking about. He sat on the second row, and almost immediately when my dad would begin to preach, or whoever it wasn't just dad, but he was the predominant preacher, any preacher that got up to preach, Jack immediately went to sleep. I mean, he would be snoring and sawing logs many times. And my dad had a propensity to kind of move around when he preached at different times. And on more than one occasion, he would go over there and just knock Jack's arm and say, Jack, wake up, would you? We'd watch that guy get startled, and we would say, you know what? We better stay awake. We don't want that to happen to us. But one of the greatest church jokes that I remember hearing about was a deacon who always fell asleep in church whenever the pastor started preaching. And one Sunday, the pastor had just been fed up, and he decided he was going to play a trick on that deacon. So he started to preach, and sure enough, the drowsy deacon really began to sleep and saw logs immediately. And the pastor said quietly, everyone who wants to go to heaven, stand up. And everyone in the congregation stood up except for that sleeping man. The pastor had everyone be seated, and he said, now everyone who wants to go to hell, stand up. And when the pastor yelled that, the deacon jerked awake and jumped to his feet, and he looked around and he said, I don't know what we're voting on, pastor, but you and I are the only one in favor of it. Still laugh about that. I would submit to you, Brighton, there's something dangerous about physical sleep in church, although it's not going to cause you a great deal of harm. But there's something much more dangerous, and that's what I want to speak to you about today. And it's being asleep spiritually. There's a word in our culture that's just arisen probably since midsummer. It's used in negative connotations with the people I kind of run with, and I understand its definition, but there's a new word in the culture called woke. Maybe you've heard it. It's defined this way: someone who is alert to injustice in society, especially racism. I would even say that from my vantage point as a pastor, and I put this in my notes, friends, that I'm more concerned about people who are so woke politically and socially that they're asleep spiritually. I don't want to be woke and understand what's going on politically and socially, but be asleep spiritually. I want to be awake and alert for the glory of God. And I want that for God's people. And I want you to stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. And I want you to look at a passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5. And I want us to be spiritually woke, if you will, aware of what's going on around about us. And I I know the passage says 1 through 11, but in the essence of time, let's pick it up at verse number 4 and read through verse 11, can we? And now, let me give you the quick context. Paul's writing to the Thessalonian church, the church at Thessalonica, and he's talking about the Lord's return. And he's challenging them, be alert, be awake. Look what he says. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light. Say, sons of the light. Say, daughters of the light. Sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep. Say, asleep. Not talking about asleep physically. He's talking about spiritual sleep. But let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Notice, if you will, the two pieces of armor. He talks about the breastplate and the helmet. We'll talk about that in a few moments. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake, say awake. Awake. Notice the whole theme there. Be alert. We are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He compliments them. He says, you're doing it. Just keep it up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you that people didn't have to come to Brighton Assembly of God or watch online to hear some pontification of a man talking about things that are senseless or immaterial. But Lord, we have the word of God, which is yea and amen to them that believe. And I thank you for your word. Lord, we've stood upon it this past year. We've had your word and we've held to it, Lord, and it has held us and it has strengthened us. I thank you and I give you praise for your word. I also thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you for each and every individual that calls Brighton AG their home. Those that watch online across around the world or right in our backyard and those that are present even today, I pray you would speak a fresh word to them on this last Sunday of 2020, Lord. And they didn't come to hear a man. They came to hear a word from you. So, Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. In Jesus' mighty and awesome name. And all God's people would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You see a picture on the screen of a music artist by the name of Keith Green. Keith Green wrote and recorded in the early 1980s. He was if you didn't know it, he was a preteen heartthrob who signed a contract with Decca Records in 1965 when he was only 12 years old. Think about this. By age 12, he had already written 40 original songs. He was born into a Jewish family, and as a teenager, he came to know Jesus. Later, he and his wife, Melody, started a ministry that's still in existence today called Last Days Ministries. It's based out of East Texas. Keith, tragically, along with two of his children, died in a plane crash in 1982. I want to encourage those that are younger in your faith or of a younger generation, listen to some of the downloads from Keith Green of a generation before. He truly was what I would call a musical prophet. And he spoke in one song that he wrote, or sang in one song, Asleep in the Night. And he challenged the church to not be apathetic about reaching lost people. Look at the words on the screen. Do you see? Do you see? All the people sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. The world's sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight. Cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. In the next few minutes, I want to speak from 1 Thessalonians 5, and I want to give you three things that you and I need to do to be awake spiritually in 2021. First off is this. The first thing that you've got to do is get up from your spiritual slumber. Verse 6 there says, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Paul uses the contrast between light and darkness to describe two different worldviews that we still have even today, Brighton. The Christians in Thessalonica had been previously been part of the kingdom of darkness. They were under the control of the devil, the prince of darkness. And since Jesus had become their Lord, they were now part of a new kingdom, the kingdom of light. Whenever we read, quick Bible study here, whenever you read about light and darkness in the Bible, you should think back to the book of Genesis. Before creation, there was darkness over the deep. And God said, let there be light. He saw that light was good, the Bible says. And he separated the light from darkness. This is creation language, scholars call it. And it's a repeated theme throughout the Word of God. First, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was talking, John was, about Jesus. And in verse 4 of that same chapter, look at it on the screen. It said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. There's an old hymn that says, the whole world was lost in darkness of sin. The light of Jesus, however, came in. The world without Jesus is still in darkness. Do you know that? They're asleep. But I would submit to you, a greater evil or something that we need to be more concerned about is that there's a danger that believers who are in the light can be spiritually asleep as well. In the dictionary, let's go back to just basics. The dictionary defines sleep in this manner. Jot it in your notes if you're taking notes today. A state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to the events taking place around you. If I doze off on the couch, you know what, while I'm watching a ball game or watching the news, you know what, I'm not completely unresponsive, but there's certainly a decreased responsiveness. In other words, when you're asleep, the dictionary tells us you're unaware of what's going on around about you. When you're spiritually asleep, Brighton, hear me, it means you're unaware of what God is doing right now in the world. And the Bible tells us in so many places that we need to be awake. We need to be alert to what's going on around about us. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 13, verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. Hey, do you see it, friends? The fact of the matter is, people haven't changed much over 2,000 years. The Word of God is still relevant today as much as it was when it was originally written. Do you know that? And people slumbered spiritually then, but people still slumber even today. And there are many that are here today. You're physically awake. Your eyes are open. You're aware of me. You're aware of what I'm saying. You're watching online. You're aware of the people around about you. But I want to ask a question. Are you aware of what God is doing in the world today? Are you awake spiritually? Are you attentive to say, Lord, I want to know. I want to see what's going on around about me. There's a phrase that you hear pastor quote often when it speaks of the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. I submit to you, Bright. You and I, we see all these political wranglings. We see racial tension. We see all kinds of upheaval within our cities, within our political realm. But I want you to know, for the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm not worried so much what CNN or Fox News are stating. I want to know what the Lord is saying to you and I. Can you say amen? We've all seen when we've stayed at a hotel that you hang this little sign on the door if you want to get a little extra sleep, or you don't want the maid or the service to make up the room, you put on the do not disturb sign. And I would submit to you, as God looks throughout the sanctuary and watches the people online, that does he see anybody that has kind of said, you know what, just don't disturb me, God. You know, the fact of the matter is that you and I, we've got a sign on our hearts, either come in and we welcome him in, or we say, don't disturb. And I would submit to you that millions of Christians, even believers, have an unspoken attitude of, you know what, I'm just content to do church, to stand, to watch, to watch what's going on, to hear what you're saying and go home totally unchanged. Lord, really, I don't want to be changed or disturbed a whole lot. Sometimes people are content. They just get into a spiritual rut. I'm challenging you and I'm challenging my life. Right at the close of 2020 into 2021, Lord, I do not want there to be a spiritual rut. We all know what a rut is, right? A rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out on each end, right? I don't want to live in a spiritual grave. I want to experience the freshness and an alertness regarding the things of God. And God, I believe, is trying to do us to say, you know what? Don't shut the alarm off. Don't hit the snooze. Wake up and enjoy my presence. Now, I'll give you this. A lot of it happens because preachers are almost just that put people to sleep. They're almost like dropping a spiritual melatonin in people's drink, if you will, or their water. But I wanted there to be a fervency about my life and my preaching, that we would understand the Lord would say to us, get up, Brad Trask, don't slumber, be alert regarding the things of God. You know what apathy is, right? Apathy is when you and I say, you know what, I just don't care. I like this old survey, you've heard the joke, you know what, they said, what is worse, ignorance or apathy? And the number one response was, I don't know and I don't care, all right? Well, I don't want there to be a spiritual apathy about my life and about Brighton Assembly to have a overriding spiritual apathy. Brighton, apathy is when you and I say, you know what, we just don't care. But when we're passionate regarding the things of God, we say, Lord, what do you want to do in our hearts and our lives today? There's a man you see on the screen. He wasn't really a dynamic preacher, but in his writings, he was very poignant. And Vance Havner, he passed away in 1986, but he had a way of expressing spiritual truths that hit home. And he said this, everybody's tired. I'm glad that the Lord fails not. Neither is he weary, because everybody else today is tuckered out. We go to bed tired. We get up tired. It seems a deep sleep has descended upon us, and the devil has chloroformed the atmosphere. We need to take down our do not disturb sign, snap out of our stupor, come out of our coma, and awake from our apathy. I say amen to that. Get up from your spiritual slumber. So say these two words, get up. Secondly, say suit up. Suit up with your spiritual armor. Remember we said he recognized two pieces of spiritual armor out of the six. He says, put on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. In Ephesians chapter 6, if you're taking notes, just jot that in the margin. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, Paul gives six pieces of armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of gospel and peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, which is the word of God, or the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith. And Paul mentions those two here, the two pieces of armor, the breastplate and the helmet. And I want to talk to you about that for a moment. The breastplate protects our heart, and the helmet protects our mind. A chest can experience a fatal or a mortal wound, and the Roman soldiers understood that. A breastplate was to protect the vital organs. And the Bible calls it the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want you to understand this. It's not our righteousness. Because you and I, our best efforts, our righteousness is what? Like filthy rags. But you and I, when we gave our lives to Jesus, he imputed. That means you get credit for what he did. How many of you like that? I love that. He imputes his righteousness to us. And so when God the Father looks down on us, he doesn't see our filthy rags. He sees what Jesus did for us, and we get credit, his righteousness, for what he did, the righteousness of the perfect Son. And breastplates, almost like a set of shoulder pads for football or hockey. You would put that on, and it would have two straps on the shoulder. And it would have the breastplate would have a front and a rear. And the fact of the matter is, faith, it would cover the back, if you will. I picture it with my mind in that. You know what? The back is, you know what? I've got your back, and if you trust me, faith is the back of the breastplate, and on the front is the person or the projection of love, because love covers our hearts. So that's how we put on the breastplate and we say, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith and fervency and love for the things of God. And then the helmet of salvation protects us from doubt, right? There's two kinds of Christians, I would submit to you, watching online or are present here in the house. And there's the first kind that say, you know what? I've been delivered from doubt. You know what? I'm absolutely, totally assured of my salvation. If I were to ask you, are you a believer? Do you know the Lord? You would respond, Pastor, yes, I know the Lord. I'm going to heaven when I die. There's not a doubt in my mind. I'm a Christian. Jesus is very real to me. That's the way we can live. It's the second kind of believer. And that when they're asked that, they say, you know what? I kind of think so. I really hope so. And as a Christian, I would submit to you, we can have and should have an absolute total assurance of our salvation. How many of you know that? John writes this in his first epistle. He says these words, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, you know, that you know, that you know, that you have eternal life. I added a couple no's there, I know. But the helmet of salvation, right, and gives me total and absolute protection from doubt. You know what, if the enemy were to come to me today and say, Trask, you're really not saved. You know what, I would say, Satan, you know what, you can't cast doubt upon my mind. I understand who you are. And the fact of the matter is, I don't care what you say. I know that I have given my life to Jesus and I'm ready for heaven. I can live in that assurance. I want to ask you. Have you suited up? You've gotten up? Have you suited up that you're totally assured today? The helmet is not salvation. It's God's salvation. It's the helmet that we put on for salvation to protect us from doubt. We need to wear our spiritual armor, Bright, because in 2021, there's going to be more difficult days. But we're going to face those evil days with faith and trust in the Almighty God. Paul writes to the Ephesians. He said, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you know what he says in verse 14? Stand therefore. We hear a lot lately, don't we, about this idea of stand your ground law. The Bible's not talking about a legal issue there, or a law term, if you will. He's talking about, Paul is standing firm spiritually. Notice he was saying, when the day of evil comes, it's not just one day, I would submit to you. Each and every one of us are going to have battles in our life. And we're going to have to stand in the faith when that day comes, whatever it is. I would submit to you, in people's lives, there's usually, some have more, some have less, some speaking in a broad brush term. But I would submit to you that usually there's two or three days of evil where you've just got to operate by raw faith. You lose a loved one, you lose a mate, you lose a child, I mean, you go through a tumultuous, somebody gets injured, whatever it might be, the list could go on. But it's a day when, you know what, the enemy would like to wipe out your faith. And you've just got to simply trust and stand firm and say, you know what? I don't know anything else, but I know my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to trust him in this day, and I'm going to seek his face, and I'm going to follow him come what may. Get up from your spiritual slumber. Suit up with your spiritual armor. Say, build up. Build up your spiritual associates. Paul concludes the section, right, of his second coming with a directive to the church. And look what he says in verse 11. Encourage one another and build each other up. The words you and I speak in 2021 are either going to build people up or it's going to tear them down. In the book of James, we've talked about it. We covered that in our study. The tongue can be either a refreshing fountain or it can be a deadly fire. Do you use your words to refresh people or to burn them? Have you ever said something that as soon as you said it, I've said it, done it so many times, as soon as you said it, you wished you could take it back? The problem for a lot of us is that, you know what, we put our mouth in motion before the brain's even in gear, if you will. Reminds me of the old proverb. Have you heard it? He that thinks by the inch and speaks by the yard deserves to be kicked by the foot, if you will. Your tongue can get you in a lot of trouble. Or it can get you out of a lot of trouble. And it can build people up. We should use our speech to build each other up in 2021. Paul wrote this in the letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Sometimes just a single word of encouragement can make a difference in someone's life. A good friend of mine, he's probably preaching to about 15 to 18,000 people today at James River Church on five different campuses. John Lindell's a great friend of ours. And when we're in Springfield, we get together and just share about life and ministry. John went after unsuccessful church plant in Kansas City. He was invited by this fledgling church about 30 years ago to come to Springfield to pastor James River Assembly. Just about 150 people at the time. And John, he had candidated, and the next morning he met one of the deacons at the Steak and Shake in Springfield, Missouri. Jenny and Jeff Bernhard know exactly where I'm talking about in Springfield, right off of Chestnut. And John looked at the board member and said, you know what? I just don't feel like I'm really in a good place. And he said, you know what? I feel like God really wants to do something at this church. And you'd be better to go with somebody else. And the board member, just from that verbiage, from his verbiage, said, you know what, brother? I hope you'll decide to come and pastor the church because I believe you're God's man. And I believe God wants to do something good here. So would you please reconsider? It was just on that one board member's word of encouragement that caused him to turn around and think of all the missionaries. Think of all the people that have been saved on their 4th of July event. They've had in past years over 100,000 people visit the campus. And the people that have been ministered to and sent out from that church around the world, just from one man's word of encouragement. Just think how God might use you in 2021 to just build somebody up that is thinking about, you know what, going a particular direction or giving up. And you're just cheering them on, saying, go for it, you can do it. The difference that could be made. There's a great Scottish theologian by the name of Barclay, William Barclay. He wrote this as the worship team comes back. One of our highest duties is the duty of encouragement. It's easy to laugh at a man's ideal. It's easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. The world is full of discouragers. But we have a divine calling to encourage one another. Many a pat on the back, and he uses the acronym PAT. I think you ought to jot that down. Praise, appreciation, and thanks. Pat people on the back. Praise them. Appreciate them. Thank them. Many a pat on the back has kept a man on his feet. Wow. That's powerful. A number of years ago, right, you heard me on Christmas Eve talk about John Wilkes Booth was his assassination of Abraham Lincoln was really what caused Phillips Brooks to write O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I thought back as I was preparing this message, even this weekend, that 60 Minutes, a number of years ago, did a study of Abraham Lincoln, of the night that he died. And what they found in his pocket when he passed away, they found a pocket knife. Interestingly enough, they found some Confederate money. And then inside of his wallet, I'm intrigued by this, they found a newspaper article that was folded up and placed in his wallet. It had been read. It was read so many times, the edges were frayed. And the historians will tell you that it was yellowed because it was so old. And the article that Lincoln had folded up in his wallet was an article written by an editor of a newspaper in England. The last name of the man was Bright. He said Bright did in that article that was folded up in Lincoln's wallet. He said, although Lincoln has been heavily criticized, I believe that he'll go down in history as one of the greatest U.S. presidents. Can you see President Lincoln in a corner of the White House when the nation's being torn apart during the Civil War? Just going over to a corner with that oil lamp turned up, pulling out of his wallet that article and opening it and saying, you know what? Regardless of all the criticism I'm receiving, there's some people that believe in me. How about your words this coming year to build your kids up, to build your grandkids up, to cheer them on? The word tells us that Paul not only told them to encourage, but he encouraged them. Did you see it there? 1 Thessalonians 5. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And then he goes on to say, you're encouraging them. God's plan for your life doesn't involve experiencing God's wrath. Jesus paid for that wrath by going to the cross for you. His plan for you is, right, to stay awake spiritually, to put on the suit of armor as we come to 2021, and then to build each other up in the faith. I want to be used by God. I know you do too. And friends, it begins by you and I saying, Lord, help us. If we've grown cold or slumber, Lord, would you wake us? I don't know if you're like me, that I'm one of these different people that I just don't hit a snooze alarm. When that alarm goes off, if I need the alarm, I'm up and pretty ready to go. Rhonda's like, Brad, would you just let me get my cup of coffee and we'll talk then. But, you know, spiritually, would you say with me, Lord, I don't want to slumber. I want to stay awake. Lord, I want to be suited up so that I don't doubt. I express love. Lord, keep me pure before you. And then, Lord, help me to encourage people. Help me to build them up. Can I tell you, Brighton, just living example. There's several people, even in the sanctuary today, that you're great encouragers to this pastor. And I'm thankful for your life. Todd will send me a text. Randy will send me a text. You know, in the middle of this COVID situation, when the press was trying to attack us and say, you know what? Hey, it was just incompetence. You know what? It wasn't incompetence. There's people getting COVID everywhere. The fact of the matter is that we just were trying to be diligent about what God called us to do. I didn't want to shut the church down. You know, Jeff Bernhard on the second row here, he just texted me probably 2 times, Pastor, you know what? I support everything you're doing. You know what? I'm with you 100%. It wasn't a lot of accolades, just I'm with you. I got your back. How much more do people need us, friends, to build them up in these last days? I believe, friends, that we may never get to the close of 2021. I'm not putting a date on it. I'm just saying I want to be alert and I want to be ready. And if he tarries into 2022 and 2023, I want to be an encourager that is fully dressed in the armor of God and alert to understand what the Lord's doing. Amen. Stand with us, would you, right? We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to close in prayer for you. And I'm probably going to do the closing prayer over you this Sunday and next Sunday as we go into the first Sunday of 2021, should Jesus tarry. But I want to say this. If you're watching online and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please go on to brightonag.org where you're at, or go from the Facebook page to our website and just press that next button, and we'll explain to you how you can take a walk of faith and life will make sense on this earth and in the life to come. He wants to spend eternity with you, and he doesn't want you to experience any of that wrath. That is destined. His only purpose is for Satan to be able to experience that wrath moving forward. So go to that spot. And if you're here today and you've grown cold in your walk with Jesus, you know, Jacqueline and Caleb, they got a brand new baby over there, Asher Scott. Their primary goal for that little guy is they want him to experience fulfillment of life. They want him to fulfill his destiny in the occupational world. But can I tell you, I know their hearts. That gift that God's given to them, they want him to always be spiritually alert, fervent for the things of God. And that is always God's destiny for our lives. I'm concerned. Not scared, I'm just concerned that through this whole COVID thing that people could slip through the cracks, quite honestly. Many of you are here today. And you know what? I applaud you. But as the vaccine gets more prevalent, I don't want to debate whether you're going to take it or don't take it. Please don't. My concern is, as people get back to some level of normalcy, have they gotten cold to the things of God through this season? And Lord, let it not be for us. Let it not be for us. Let us be alert, even understand what the enemy wants to do is for us to grow cold. He wants us to drift. And because he wants us to do that, I want to be counterintuitive. I want to do the exact opposite of what he would want me to do. Amen? So let me pray over you, Brighton, would you? And then we'll sing this chorus together. Lord, I pray over every individual that's here today. I pray, Lord, if there is one that is not surrendered to you, that they would, Lord, yield unto you even this hour. Lord, I ask that you quicken their hearts and their lives, and that they understand that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all fallen asleep or been in the darkness spiritually. But Lord, you want to bring them to the kingdom of light. Is there one here today? You'd slip up your hand. You're in the house and you just say, Brad, would you pray for me? I've drifted from God, or I've never surrendered my life to God and accepted God's Son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. But I want to do that today. You just slip up your hand and say, Brad, would you pray for me on this last Sunday of 2020?
I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to come back to faith. That's you. Just lift that hand nice and high. Today's your day. That's you, friend. I want to ask a couple of quick questions. You're here today, and there's been a little bit of spiritual slumber. And you just say, you know what, I've gotten casual. My prayer time hasn't been what it should be, or my fervency for the things of God, studying God's word, or letting my witness be known. And I want to be alert. I want to understand the times that we're living in. Or maybe you're here today and you just say, I've got some doubt. I need to put on the helmet of salvation, and I need to be alert, and I need to be aware, but I don't want to be a doubter. I want to live by faith, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and I want to walk by faith, and I want to be my heart to be fully in love with the person of God. Or maybe you're here today and you just say, you know what? I need to be a greater encourager. I want to be somebody that builds people up, not tears them down. And I see the critics in our culture, but I don't want to live that way. You're here today and you just say, Lord, help me to live as an encourager. Those that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So Lord, help me to be somebody that builds people up. If that's you, just a moment, would you just respond and say, Lord, take my life and help me to be somebody that gives words of affirmation, pats people on the back with praise and affirmation, appreciation, and thanks.